Well, praise God. Thank you, Dudley. Get your Bibles out, church. If you would, go to somewhere. Throw it open. I preached a message started last week. And I want to continue on that a little bit. You know, it's funny to me because I remember in the early days of being in the ministry, I used to spend, you know, multiple hours of just every Saturday trying to get a message prepared and going through different, you know, there was no computer when I started, and so you had to go through the concordance and you had all the, I'd spend out with 5, 6, 8 books on the table trying to, you know, figure out this and that and the other. I was just riding my Harley yesterday and going down the road, and the Spirit of God started speaking to me, just dumped about 6 months of message on me, and I'm like, man, this is all right, Lord. This is a whole lot easier than the early days. And so I want to just preach to you a little bit this morning and kind of get started in this, but I've never, just hear me out. I've never been a person that wanted to ever really predict or prophesy anything that had to do with dates or times or, you know, these preachers get caught up in, you know, and everything's going to happen in 88 and everything's going to happen in 2000, everything's going to happen, you know. But I can just tell y'all, from my what I feel in my spirit and when I talk to other ministers, that there is something going on. Just listen to me. I don't know. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but I'm just telling you, God is doing something and is about to do something in a big way. Now, it's not unheard of. You can go back and look in history, even recent history. You go back to 1900, to the second Great Awakening that we had in America. You know, there was a Great Awakening that took place in the 1850s, 60s, somewhere along in there, where you had people like literally Daniel Boone, who were actually preachers and started wilderness forts, and they called them Quakers because everybody would be slain in the spirit under the power of God and out in the middle of the wilderness. This is not things you hear about going on today. Listen, folks, it's been going on for 2,000 years. It's not something that just happened overnight. But you look back at the day that Jesus, just imagine this, the day that Jesus, when he was on earth and he just started his ministry. Prior to Jesus, everybody was under the Old Testament law, and everybody was living under the Old Testament and trying to make animal sacrifices, and all these different things were going on. All of a sudden, God just stepped in and just slammed the hammer down and said, okay, it's a new dispensation. It's a new day. It's the age of grace. And he just stepped in and slammed the hammer down. And from Jesus' resurrection till today, people are saved by grace and faith in Jesus, not by animal sacrifice. Y'all with me? Now, we take that, we just accept that, right? Mainly because we're not Jewish and we ain't got no place to make any sacrifices, and we didn't want to have to hook up the trailer and load some sheep in there this morning, or depending on what you'd been doing this week, how many cows you had to put in there. Anyway, that's another message. But then you see in the 1900s, there was another Great Awakening, that Azusa Street Revivals, and things started happening. People were saved and saved, and miracles took place and healings, and just it was an amazing thing, and it went up and through. And then there was another big movement about in the 40s or the 50s where all kinds of things took place, and people had healing rooms. And there was, in Spokane, Washington, there was a healing room with over 120,000 documented healings, doctors examining people and seeing that they were miraculously healed and with no understanding of why, or, you know, medically why, and God just moving. And then you've got, you know, the 70s, you started having a movement, and then the charismatic renewal started coming in, and churches started coming back alive and awake. And I'm just telling you, God's about to do something. It's coming. It's actually here already, and it's just wanting us to all get in faith in it of what God's going to do, and it's going to be good. All I know is when God does something, it's good. Amen? And so I started preaching to you this message last week, God's good. Because if you're going to receive something from the Lord, Listen to me. You've got to get yourself in a position to receive. You can't be mad at God. You can't be blaming God for everything. You can't be on God's, you know, against God when he's trying to do something for you and see results in your life. Right? God wants to bless you. God is for you. And so I gave you six principles. The first one is you got to realize that God is for you. He's not against you. I don't care what you've done. Listen to me. I don't care how bad of a sinner you think you are. God is for you. His position is faith that I am for you. I want you to succeed. I want you to walk in success. I want you to walk in victory. I want you to come to heaven and spend eternity with me. I want you there. That's God's position. He's for you. Everybody say, God's for me. Second thing you got to understand is God has a word for you. He has a word for you, and when you hear that word, it changes your life. Let me put it this way. I know a lot of y'all's testimony in life and about where you were in life, and you were in a hard place and a hard time, and then all of a sudden you turn and you turned your face towards Jesus. You ask him to come into your life and boom, God changed you. Well, whether you realize it or not, you heard God's word for you and then you acted upon it. Whether you really understand that's what you did. You know, you didn't get saved. God called you. You heard the call and then you came and accepted. Are you with me? And I'm telling you, God is in a place right now today that he has a word for you. He has a word for everything you're going through. Wherever you are in life. Good spot, bad spot. Everything's okay spot. Don't make any difference. God has a word for you. When you hear the word of God for you, it changes your life, folks. It changes your life. The third thing I told you is that the devil is defeated. The devil has no power over you. Don't let him get in there. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let religion lie to you. Don't let anybody lie to you. And give the devil any power and any authority. I've always said it makes me mad every time there was ever a horror movie on. They always make the preacher to be a wimp. And the devil always beats him up and throws him out the door. That makes me mad. Anytime I'm watching a movie and they make the preacher out to be a wimp, I just turn it off. I like Machine Gun Preacher. If y'all had never seen that, go look that one up. That's a different tune now, I'll tell you what. But the devil's defeated. He is defeated. Everybody say the devil's defeated. The fourth thing is that you got to understand that you're in a position to receive, okay? All you have to do is operate in faith. You positionally, okay, have been aligned in the kingdom of heaven. He says you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You're in a position to receive. You have the right to receive from heaven, okay? The fifth thing is you got to understand God is going to do the work. You just have to cooperate with it. All right? All you got to do is hear the word and cooperate with it, and God's going to do the work. You can't do it because if it depends on you, well, then we're living under the Old Testament law. God's not going to come to you and say, look, if you can pray for 2 hours every day for 10 days, then it's yours. Folks, you're listening to the wrong spirit. Because God's not about how well can you perform. Because I want to tell y'all something. If it's up to my performance, I'm going to fail. I can just be going down the road, just having the greatest day, worshiping the Lord, listening to my praise and worship music, doing whatever, just singing songs, and somebody pull out in front of me and say, what's the matter with you, idiot? I see, I already failed. Y'all with me? There's no way. If it's dependent upon your performance, well, then you're living in a works mentality. You got to understand, you're already in a position to receive. You're already in the kingdom of heaven. You positionally are already a saint, whether you act like one or not. All right? Okay. You know, I don't know why I'm going to say this. Just thinking about that, about being positionally. It's like if you had a membership, if somebody gave you a membership to a country club, but you never went because you thought you wouldn't be accepted. It don't make any difference what anybody else thinks. You got a membership. They give you the card and says you're a member of the club and say, no, we want you to give you a member of this membership. But you say, oh, I don't know. I'm not going to go out there. I don't think they'll like me out there. Anywhere. Well, you're in a position to receive because you've been given the membership. But if you're not there, you can't receive. So you got to get yourself into that place. So then that was the fourth thing is, the fifth thing is, God's doing the work and he's going to do it. He's going to make it happen. And the sixth thing is it brings God joy to help you. See, we get it in our minds that God is only happy with us when we've done it all right. Oh, God loves me because I've been really living good. No, he already loves you. And it brings him joy to work with you, helping you be better. See, our goofy heads, we keep thinking it's the other way. Oh, when we're doing everything right, God's going to be pleased with us. No, he's pleased with you when you're having to come to him and say, Lord, I messed up again. Because he's happy you're believing in him. Amen? Okay, so with all that said, all of that is to do, all of that, those 6 points are to help you to be free. And we got to get free, folks. Listen to me. I'm not talking about craziness. I'm not talking about going goofy. I'm not talking about running around the building and jumping up on the walls and I'm having to pull you off. I mean, that'd be better than you just being dead and looking at me like you're not barely alive. I mean, I'll take some crazy. But I'm talking about we've got to get free from the baggage and the bondage of life because that's what's keeping us from walking in the blessings of God. It's the old mentality, the old ways, our ruts, our all the things that we're stuck in, the strongholds and the bondages that we get into because we're crazy. It's the truth. So what I want to, for these next couple of Sundays, I'm going to be talking to you about 3 areas that we need freedom from. All right? And so the first area here I want to talk about this morning, I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 20. We'll start in the Old Testament here. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. How many of y'all are glad God's for you? I'm sure glad God's not mad at me this morning. I didn't do everything right yesterday, but he's not mad at me. I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad I can go talk to my father, and he's going to talk to me. Hello? Y'all alive out there? I can barely hear y'all through the shouting. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, I'm going to read this story here. I'm going to read these 11 verses, so y'all just stick with me. It says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and he was near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, said to him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now that, you just don't like people like that coming to your house. Hi, brother, I just came over to check on you. Oh, by the way, I had a word from you from the Lord. You're not going to live, you're going to die. Get your house in order. I mean, I just say, well, good, just get on out of here. I don't want to hear that, right? So he said, then he turned his face towards the wall and he prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, Lord, I pray how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened that before Isaiah had gone into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your fathers, I have heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. And on the third day, you shall go to the house of the Lord, and I will add to you 15 years, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. Now, what I want you to see here is you got to remember this is Old Testament. All right? Everybody say it's Old Testament. Listen, don't get the theology of the Old Testament mixed up with the theology of the New Testament. Don't get the way God was dealing with people in the Old Testament with how he deals with you today. All right? The first area I want to talk to you that we need freedom in is we need freedom in physical healing. Now, I'm going to pray for everybody here in just a minute, but I'm just let me build this message a little bit here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm more aware or there's just more sick folk. But my phone is ringing off the wall. I got people all over the place that just know me from wherever calling me about having cancer, about having this and about having that, and sickness on this and sickness on that, and pray for them. And I know this friend, and I mean, every day it's like I wake up and I'm just, there's a list of sick people that we got to pray for. All right? And what I want to show you this morning is that God wants you free from sickness and disease. I want to show you here this morning and try to get down into your heart that God wants you free from sickness and disease, and He has a word for you about whatever's going on in your life. What happened with Hezekiah is Isaiah had a word for him. He spoke to him. He had a word. First word was, you're going to die. Second word is, I've heard your prayer and you're going to live. God has a word for you about whatever is going on in your life, in your situation, and you have got to hear it. What I believe is happening right now in this move of God is that He is simply speaking to you, and that word's going to set you free. That's really what I believe. I believe you're going to hear the voice of God clear and ever. Because how many of you, and we'll be honest enough to say, sometimes you thought you heard what God was saying to you, but really you found out later on down the road it was just your own desire. Anybody got that? Had that happen? Yeah. You know, it's like that time I told you about the story of I wanted this trailer. And we were hauling food and going down into South Texas and doing food bank and feeding people. And I wanted this trailer. But the reason why I wanted the trailer was because it was the trailer that we had at the ranch. And it was something that I'd had and I showed cattle in, and it was a good memory to me, and we'd gone broke and my father had died, and I wanted that trailer. Well, I finagled around, kept praying about it, but I had really manipulated the situation, and I got the trailer. And I never forget, I was happy. I was saying in my heart, thank you, Lord, you gave me this trailer, but in the back of my mind, I really knew I had just manipulated the situation and got what I wanted. And I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I start noticing the temperature gauge on my truck starts getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And I thought, oh, Lord, what's going on here? And the bottom line was the trailer was an all-steel trailer, and it was too heavy for my truck. By the time I loaded it down with food, it would get hot. So I could only drive about 20 miles. I had to pull over the side of the road, let the truck cool down. And in the middle of doing that, the Lord spoke to me and said, well, you got what you wanted, didn't you? I said, yeah. So sometimes we think we're hearing the word of the Lord, but what we're really doing is hearing our own desire. But we need freedom in our lives to literally hear the word of the Lord, because I'm telling you, God has a word for you that He wants to set you free. The first thing you've got to understand about physical healing is you've got to believe that physical healing was paid for in the atonement of Christ. If there is doubt in you that you are maybe in question, you're not really sure if God is going to heal you, wants to heal you, if that really happens today, yeah, but what about so-and-so? You remember children of Israel went to the promised land, or they were trying to get into the promised land, and they sent the spies out, and they came back with the big old grapes, and they had them over their shoulders. Y'all ever thought about that? What little bundle of grapes we get, or whatever you call it. What do you call grapes when they're all put together? A bunch? A cluster? A little cluster of grapes that we get today that hangs like this, and this one they had to hang. Unless that was, they were just really weak and couldn't carry it with one hand. But that would look kind of silly if they come back into the camp with a pole over their deal with just one little cluster of grapes. And they say, look at the land, it's truly a land that flows with milk and honey. Look how great it is. Man, it's unbelievable. Look at all the stuff out there. And there was these other guys saying, yeah, that looks good. And they said, yeah, but what about the giants? And I've always seen that was the tribe of Yabbats that were in the middle of Israel, the Yabbats, right? And I don't like being a Yabbat. I don't like saying, oh, God, I think you're going to heal me. And then their mind goes, yeah, but what about old, Sally Mae? Because the minute you get into doubt and unbelief, James, the Bible, in the book of James, it tells us that you're an unstable man. You're unstable in all your ways. You're like the seas, the waves of the seas. You're up and down. He doesn't want us to be yabbits. He wants us to be believing in his word. He wants you to be solidified on the inside of you, rock solid, hard, 100%, that God is a healer and God wants to heal you. And if there's doubt and unbelief in your life, the Bible's plain. It says, man, you're not going to walk in it. You're not going to walk in any of the promises of God if there's doubt and unbelief. You've got to get it down rooted on the inside of you. There's two things that I guess you could say were regrets. One is I wish that when I was a young man, I'd have kept myself in shape all through my whole life and didn't just give up somewhere along the line and end up like I am. Having to start over again. All right? And the second thing I wish I'd have done is I wish in my early years I would have known the power of believing the Word of God and getting the Word of God in my life, not starting at, 25 years old to try to get the Word of God in my life, but have started as a young man building the Word of God in my life so that there was faith. I was faith strong and had rooted out all doubt and unbelief. You young people, the greatest thing you can possibly do is start learning what is the Word of God and what does it say and what is the truth in the Word and get it down within your heart now. Because the day is going to come when you really need it. And if it's not there, then you have to start trying to get it. And by then it's too late. It's like going to go, you just got the phone call. You got to run a marathon next week and now you're going to go take a week to go get in shape. Well, it isn't going to work. You might as well not even attempt to get in shape. You might as well just try to go run the marathon out of shape. Because if you go try to get in shape, you're going to be so sore by the time the marathon comes, it ain't going to do you no good. So just go out there and just kill yourself once. Are y'all with me? I mean, if you know that you got a marathon coming up, you should be running. Right? Have y'all seen that commercial where the guy's sitting at his office? I don't even know what it's about, but he's sitting at his office and it says, your heart attack is today. Huh? He gets a little piece of paper, somebody's walking ahead and says, your heart attack is today. Well, just imagine if you knew that. Imagine if you knew that, on certain date and certain, you had 10 years before you knew it was coming. I don't know, some of us wouldn't do anything about it. The point is, it's got to be in you, rock solid, solidified. I do not understand everything, church. Listen to me. I do not understand everything. I cannot explain everything. All I know is what I read in the Bible and I believe is true. My position for each and every one of you, I'm going to pray till either I rub your hair off or you tell me to quit. And I'm believing for healing through the whole thing. I'm going to do everything I can to coach you along. But the bottom line is you got to hear the word of God. You have to hear a word for you. There's a word like Isaiah had for Hezekiah and spoke to him. If you read that story on, it says that he was sick and he prayed. And then the Lord said to him to go get a lump of figs and put on him. Now, I don't know. Okay, you can go put figs on you if you want to. I eat figs all the time. I love figs. But I'm not doing it because Hezekiah put them on him and it healed him. All right? That is like fig preserves. Now I'm hungry. But the point is he spoke to Hezekiah something specific, and when he went and did that specific thing, he got healed. You got to understand something. You can be sitting there saying, oh, God, heal me, but what are you doing? You're setting up, a lightning bolt's got to hit you. It's got to be a certain way. You have to have somebody lay hands on you. It has to be this way or that way, or this is the only way it could come. I mean, come on, if you were dying, it doesn't seem to me to make sense to stick a lump of figs on you. And some people say, well, he had a boil and figs are a natural remedy to cure boils. You ain't going to die from a boil. It had to be something worse than that. And he was going to die because Isaiah told him he was going to die. You don't get a boil up on you and die from it. Point is, if Jesus speaks to you to do something, you know what I'd suggest you do? Do it. I've told you this story, and this doesn't fit everybody. Don't try to take what God said to me and put it to you, because it was for me. But I remember I was having awful stomach problems. And just, man, I was tore up. And the Lord spoke to me one day. I was praying, I kept saying, Lord, heal my stomach. Lord, just heal my stomach. God, you got to heal me. Come on. Oh, come on, Jesus. You know, I was expecting. I was being all Pentecostal about the thing. Come on, just have the fire of God. Come down here. Come on. In the name of Jesus. And nothing was happening. Every day my stomach hurt. Finally, the Lord spoke to me one morning. I used to drink iced tea, but I'd get the old Lipton iced tea that just came in the jar. You just mixed it instant stuff and stirred up. And I was eating peanut butter on toast. Cut up a banana on top of it for breakfast every morning. And the Lord, as soon as I was stirring that tea, he just spoke to me and says, stop drinking the tea, quit eating the peanut butter. I mean, it was plain, because I liked the tea. Why would I want to say? Why would myself say to me, don't drink tea? I liked it. But I was challenged, okay? Did I hear God? Am I going to do what he said or not? And so I quit. And my stomach problems went away. Now, what if I would have just said, no, Lord, I want you just to heal me. I want your power to deliver me. Change the molecular structure within my stomach, because I want to drink it and I want to eat it. I think that's called being stupid. See, I believe that the moment you pray and you say, Jesus, I need you to heal me, I need some help, I believe there's a word for you that you just got to hear it. I believe it's already dispatched from the altar of heaven to come into your life. God, you got to get this out of your mind, sitting there, God saying, well, I don't know, you hadn't really been very good. I mean, it's not Santa Claus. It's not the naughty and nice book. You're either in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom. You're either saved or you're not. You either have all of the promises of God that are already available to you, or you don't. And the only thing that makes the difference is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for you, and have you asked him to come into your life? Once you have done that and entered into salvation, salvation means deliverance. You are delivered from that. But if you stay in that and say, well, I don't know if God's going to do it, you think he's just up there like the big old Santa Claus with a big beard and an old rocking chair. You don't know where he's going to hit you in the head with a baseball bat. And see, I've heard it all. People have come to me and said, well, Robert, you just don't understand, because sometimes the Lord has to chasten us. Yeah, but there's nowhere I can find in Scripture he chastens you with sickness. That's sick. Listen to me. That is sicko thinking, that God's up there and said, well, let's just put a little cancer on him, see if he'll still serve me. That is sick. I'm not going to believe that my Jesus, who died on a cross for me, that shed his blood for me, is that kind of person. Oh, and I said, well, listen, God moved in the days when Jesus was here. You always know they're full of it when they get their hands up going, and he moved in that day to show that the word of God was true, but he doesn't move like that anymore. Well, what, you don't think people today need to know that he's real? Oh, it just happened to be at the beginning they got to get shown that God was real. They don't want to show God's real now. Like he said, all right, we'll give them a start. We'll give them a kick start, but it's just up to them now. That isn't my Jesus that I read about. You know, that is religious thinking. I told y'all last week, and I know I probably hurt a few people's feelings, but it's only the truth, that the devil, when he could not get people, he saw what was going on when the early church started, and he couldn't stop the movement that was going on of the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the earth and people being saved. He said, I got to do something. So what he did is he put on religious garments and joined the church. The devil said, look, it wasn't if I can't beat them, join them. No, it was, I can't beat them out here like now, so I'm just going to put on religious garments and I'm going to join the church and I'm just going to feed them a lie. And that's what started out. That's what took place. Go back and look at the Dark Ages and through the Spanish Inquisitions and stuff like that. People in the name of God did horrible things, and there's no way they could have got that out of the Bible. They got it from the pit of hell. But they put on religious garments. And folks, listen to me. You got to know what the Word of God says. You got to know who Jesus is. You got to hear His Word for your life. And if you're believing that He might just throw a little eel your way, or He just might be back there to trip your foot so you fall flat on your face, then I want to tell you something. You're not going to walk in physical healing. You're not going to walk in any promises of God, because you're believing in something that's a lie. In the book of Genesis, the original, in Genesis 1, the original starting of everything, if you go back and you read it, it says that God made, in verse 26, He says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds over there, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image, the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. And then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then God saw that everything that He made was indeed, it was very good. Listen to me. The good thing that God created you to walk around in, I've argued with the Lord. He could have given me a better good thing to walk around in. I wish I was taller. I wish I didn't have problems with certain things in life. I wish I was, you know, but I got stuck in this stupid earth suit. This is what I got. This is my size. This is because of what my parents and their genetics ended up producing. And this is who I am. But I want to tell you something. When God made me, He made a good thing. The Bible says He made a good thing. You say, "Well, that's just arrogance and pride." Listen to me. That is living in biblical truth. I don't think arrogance means you think you're better than somebody else. I don't think I'm better than somebody else. I just know I'm a good thing. I have to tell my good thing every morning. Good thing, you're supposed to function right. I'm telling you, good thing, function right in the name of Jesus. Body, you function like you're supposed to function. If God gave me organs to do something, then organs work. I speak to all kinds of my organs. I speak to things I don't even know that's really in there. I call things into being that may not be, you know, there, but I'm telling you, I'm working on it. I'm saying you're supposed to work right. If I get tired during the day, I'll stop and I'll pray. "Come on, Holy Ghost, something's not working. My adrenal glands need to give me something. My thyroid needs to give me something. I need some juice from somewhere. Get in there and juice up, man. What's the matter with you?" You say, "Well, that's just crazy talk." Is it? All I'm telling you is I have faith that God has a word for me, and God can arrange things for me, and God can make my health good. And I look at anything that comes upon me, I don't care if it's a chronic case of hangnails, as a curse. Because I command my body to function like God said it was supposed to function. It was supposed to be a good thing. But we accept things. We let things come upon us and say, "Oh, that just comes along with old age." And I'm saying bull. I'm saying no. I'm saying that God right now wants to move in our lives. And He wants to heal you. He wants you to be strong. He doesn't want you dealing with sickness in life. He doesn't want you plagued with chronic problems of this and that and the other. He doesn't want you to accept the fact that your body isn't functioning like it's supposed to function. Isaiah 53 says, man, whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the report of the Lord? Are we going to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our physical healing? But we got to get it. Now, I just want to show you a few scriptures here. Because if you don't believe me, well, then I want to ask you, would you believe the apostles if they were preaching today? Because if you go look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, let's look at what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled did not revile in return, but when He suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we should die to sin, that we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you like sheep have gone astray and have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Why would Peter say that? Why would Peter write into the church he was writing to and say, listen, don't forget, Jesus is our example, and by his stripes you're healed. Why would Peter say that if healing wasn't still for the day? If it was just for the early apostles, just for the early church, well, wait a minute, he's writing to the other people, just common people out there. Why did he say that? Okay, go to another scripture, Matthew chapter 8. Let's see what Matthew has to say. Because folks, I'm telling you, if they believe it, we ought to believe it. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, Matthew writes and says in here, when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirit with a word. Everybody say a word. And he healed all who were sick, that they might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Why would Matthew say that if it wasn't the truth? Why would Matthew go in there and say and have written to in his letter saying he himself took our infirmities, that this is what was happening, this was Christ, this is he was fulfilling what the prophecy said, that he took our infirmities and he bore our sickness? Why would he say it if it wasn't the truth? Okay? And then, you know, let's just go to Matthew 6, verse 8. And let's just see what Jesus said about the whole matter. There was nothing that ever solidified that God wants us physically healed to me other than reading the Lord's Prayer. And I think it's so funny that so many Christians can quote the Lord's Prayer when it's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer he gave to the disciples for them to pray. And he gave us a perfect example and set it all before us. And everybody quotes it, everybody says it, but nobody ever looks at what it says. In chapter 6, verse 8, it says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I read that one day, it was just hit me square between the eyes. If Jesus is telling me that I'm supposed to be praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, I had to stop and think about, well, what happens in heaven? Are there sick people in heaven? Are there hospitals in heaven? Is there urgent care in heaven? Does God have angels who are doctors that have to take care of the sick? I mean, you ask anybody, oh, are there hospitals in heaven? And they're going to say, there ain't no hospitals in heaven. Well, why would there be no hospitals in heaven? Well, you're dead. No, actually, you're alive.
Well, the spirit body doesn't get sick.
Well, how do you know? Where have you seen one? Have you talked to a spirit body lately? Do you know anything? Don't tell me what heaven looks like by your thoughts. Listen to me, folks. I just got to tell you, people are crazy. If you haven't figured that out, I mean, you can look in the mirror and start with you. You're crazy. We're all crazy. We've got crazy thinking and crazy ideas in our head. All right? I'm sorry. I'm just not going to patty cake it on you. We all got some goofy, crazy thoughts in our head. We do. But what I want you to understand is that there are crazy people in this world, and the crazy people in this world want to take you out of what would be solid thinking and get you over into their crazy believing. Okay? And if they, whatever their pretense is, whether they're your friend or they're supposed to be some big theologian or whatever, you know, that's they're going to come at any shape, color, and size. It's been happening for 2,000 years. But their object is to get doubt in you. Because the devil knows if you ever believe the Word of God is true, there's nothing that'll stop you. There's nothing that will stop you. If you ever believe it. Jesus said, I want it to be the will of God to be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Well, if Jesus wants us, what, nobody's sick in heaven, then wouldn't he want us, nobody sick on earth? Wouldn't he want people to be blessed and be happy? To not be abused by sickness? Not be tormented by sickness? I hear people say all the time, well, it just kind of runs in my family. Well, you may have a genetic disposition to that sickness, but you don't have to walk in it. My father-in-law right over there is living proof of that. His brothers died early in life and with heart attacks. His family had always fought with people having a heart attack, dying early. But he didn't, because he stood on the Word of God and believed and confessed and spoke out of his mouth and said, I'm going to live and not die. You can't say, well, you know, sometimes. Well, then if you want to believe that, go be a yeah, but get over in your own tribe and shut up and leave me alone. I'm happy where I'm at. I mean, that's the bottom line. Don't try to take me down your road of woe is me. And don't hinder me from trying to get other people to believe in God's Word's true. Now, we can sit here all day long. We can have the biggest discussion in the world. You can throw up this, you can throw up that. Yeah, but you know, I did, yeah. But don't be a yeah, but folks. It's time for us in this move that God's wanting to do in our life to believe that He's true. And just let's say, God, no, I just believe your word's true. Whatever you say. I'm just going to get in line with it. I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to work anything up. I'm not going to whoop anything up. I don't need smoke and dog and pony shows to try to get you to believe the Word of God's true. I don't want to manipulate people or anything else. I just want us to believe the Word of God and what it says, the truth of it in our lives. That's it. That's all I want to do. But I tell you what, if we change the culture in this church, and we change our thinking in this church, and we root out yabbit thinking, and get into faith-filled thinking, I want to tell you something. You're going to see miracles take place. You're going to see miracles take place. I've seen miracles take place in third world countries. And you say, well, why do they take place? Because I just said to the person, if I lay hands on you, you'll be healed. They said, oh, okay.
They didn't say, yeah, but what about the book of so-and-so says this and this.
They don't know nothing. They just say, oh, the guy says you lay hands on you, get healed, go, let's go. Lay hands on, boom, just get healed. They walk around and say, oh, I got healed, thank you, God. And I'm like, what? But we come up and say, oh, I don't know, it makes me feel kind of nervous because I'm coming up to the front and standing here and everybody might be looking at me. And I hope he puts the oil on my head. He doesn't mess up my mascara or my hair like this. And I just hate it when pastor pushes my hair down. Just know, ladies, if you have any kind of hair that's sticking up and you want me to lay hands on you, I'm smushing it down. And why? Because I can. I mean, my Lord, we're so worried about everything. Oh, what about this and what about that? And this and, oh gosh, I hope I can, you know. We're all so worked up that, and the Lord's just sitting there saying, what are they doing? I just see God looking over at Jesus and say, we made it so simple. Why are there so many yabbits? A yabbit infestation has broken out over there. I just want to see you walk in what Jesus paid for. Now, I'll tell you what I have to offer you. Okay? Tell you what I have to offer you. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John went into the temple and the man that was lame from birth, he jumped up and, or he didn't jump up first, he was looking at him, expecting to receive something. And they said to him, silver and gold I don't have. In other words, I got no buddy money to give you, buddy. Sorry. But I do have something. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it's an interesting story because it says they reached out and took him by the hand and boom, he was up. Some people would argue, well, it was when Peter touched him. That's what happened. Some people would say this, some people that. But I want to tell you what it was. It was when the man received the word as truth. Silver and gold, I don't have. But what I have, I'll give you. And what I have as pastor of Living Waters Church, I'll give you the authority in the name of Jesus. We've got to understand that this isn't no dog and pony show. This isn't some religious service. This is a place where we gather and the Spirit of God comes into this place. Because he said, well, we're gathered and he's there in our midst. And this is real. It's not just a good story or a fairy tale. And that Jesus wants to touch you. And he wants to give you a word. Matter of fact, I want you to do this, okay? If you're sick in body, I don't care if you got a chronic case of hangnails, okay? I don't care what it is. If you're sick in body, I want to ask you just to stand up right now. Right in your seat, just stand up. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you right now. And what I want you to do is I want everybody in here just to put yourself in a position of receiving. Okay? Because in Acts chapter 10, on the day after when Peter went to preach to the house of Cornelius, the people were just sitting in church while he was preaching, and it says the Spirit of God fell on them. Just fell on them, and they were saved, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, we get in our mind sometimes that I got to lay hands on you, or it's got to be this way, it's got to be that way, it's got to do this, you got to do this. Folks, listen to me. What you need is Jesus just to touch you. And he's told me that if I would pray like this morning, that then he'll touch you right there in your chair. And he's going to give you a word. So let's just pray right now. Father, right now, I just come to you. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, you see every person standing here right now. Different ailments, different situations going on in their life, different issues they're dealing with. But I declare right now in Jesus' name that we believe your word to be true. We believe your word to be true, and we believe right now that you don't want us sick. You don't want us fighting and wrestling with this earth suit, this body you gave us to walk around in. We stand here right now and declare whatever it has to be, a creative miracle. Lord, if it has to just be a word specifically spoken to us, whatever it has to be, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we put ourselves in that position to receive it from you. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command sickness to go from bodies. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command creative miracles to come into bodies. For bones to be straightened, ligaments to be back right. For sickness and disease to leave our bodies now in Jesus' name. By the power of the name of Jesus, that's above every name, that every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that Jesus is Lord. I thank you right now, Lord, that every person's needs being slid right off the altar right now, and it's coming their way. Every person's needs just being slid off the altar and coming down, Lord, right now. into their lives. Just coming down right now into their lives. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're just doing it. You're just doing it. You're doing it right now in Jesus' name. Now, those of you that are fighting something in your body that's a physical thing like a ligament or a back or a whatever, just move a little bit and say, Lord, man, that feels good. Oh, God, that feels good. You're moving in my life. Whoo! If there's something that you're standing for that you can't, doesn't make any difference what you're doing right now because you're not going to be able to sense it, well, then just begin to just thank God and say, Lord, I just thank you. You got my organ working right, or you got my whatever's functioning like it's supposed to be functioning. Whoo, if you're fighting diabetes, just begin to say, ah, thank you, Lord, my blood sugar is working like it's supposed to be in the name of Jesus. My body's functioning just like it's supposed to function. Come on, don't give it a place. Don't give it a place. No. You got to be exercising that faith and stepping out. In the name of Jesus. Now I want to ask everybody, does this stand up that's around somebody that's standing up? Everybody stand up. And then if somebody's standing around you right there, just put your hand on them. Because that shows a sign that we're all going to stand in faith. Are y'all with me? Because you may be sitting out here this morning saying, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not sick. And I'm glad you're not sick either. But we're called to stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So if you got your hand laid on somebody that was standing there, just say, hey, I'm standing with you. Come on, just poke them and say, hey, I'm standing with you. Father, right now we just set our agreement as a church that this is our culture, Lord God, that we're a culture that's just crazy enough to believe that the Word of God is true. We're just insane people, Lord, brainwashed to believe the Word of God's true. Lord, we read it, we believed it. And we're just so glad that, Lord, we're just those simple country folk that can just believe that the Word's true. And we just stand with our brothers and sisters here this morning. We just believe, Lord, for great words coming to them. That, Lord, you're just speaking to them. And that the whole environment of this church is changing. Because, Lord, we want to get in the move and the flow of what's going on with you. And, Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, just kind of, you know, shake that person a little bit and say, whoo! Ooh, that was good. Now just keep standing. Can I have my prayer team come down? If you're on the prayer team today, I just want you to come down here in just a minute, and we're gonna. If you're here and you need prayer, you need to talk to somebody or say something to somebody or. I want us to encourage y'all, listen, just like somebody was telling me before service that about listening to SoundCloud, if you're going to be gone next Sunday or the next Sunday, I'm going to be dealing with external abuse and internal abuse. External abuse is the abuse that is happening to us from the world, wasn't our fault. Internal abuse is the craziness of ourselves beating our own selves up. Okay, it's just like you just take your fist and you're just going on. You have a black eye every morning. You just finally figured out you're the one giving it to yourself, you know? And so I encourage you, if you miss those messages, to get them and listen to them, because it's really going to help you be free. Because I want to see you be free. Because I'm dealing with some of the crazy. I want to deal with the physical healing today, and then we're going to have some healing for crazy. Look at the person beside you and say, I think he's talking about you. So take that person's hand beside you. Listen, we're having dinner on the grounds today. There's always plenty. God always blesses our food. So even if you didn't bring food today and you didn't know about it, please come and stay in fellowship with us and eat with us. And if you're going to be here, make a new friend today. We need friends in life. Amen? So, Father, I just ask you to bless everybody here. Lord, as we go out today and we fellowship together, just bless our food, bless our conversation. Lord, bless our lives. And I thank you that as we go out into the world, Lord, we're going to be a bright and shining light to help people, to encourage people, to see people set free from whatever thinking they got, Lord. They're not going to be more yabbits, but there's just going to be people who walk in victory. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here for you if you need prayer.